From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of September, Monday afternoon. We'll be joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities to take a look at the marketplace today. Mark Russo will be here to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. We'll talk with Frayne Olson from North Dakota State University, NDSU, ag economist, about the marketplace as well. And I'll ask you to make a phone call on this first weekday of our fall fun drive at 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today finished 7.5 cents lower at $3.57.5. December up a penny at $3.69.5 at the March at $3.79.75 higher. September soybeans up 13.75, $10.19.25 the settlement price. November beans at $9.99.5, up 3.5 on the settlement price. They did go to $10.08.75 today. January futures at $10.03.25. Up 4 for the day. Bean oil 54 cents higher. The bean meal down 220. Wheat futures July soft red up 2 for the afternoon. Settled at $5.59. Live cattle futures in the October up $1.35. Feeders were $1.50 higher on the day. And lean hogs were down $1.95. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois is here to discuss the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt. Why don't you jump straight into the soybean market for me this afternoon? Tell me what farmers have been calling to ask about, what you've been telling them.
Sure. Before I forget, you said September corn was down 7.5, and the September beans were up 13.75. Those went off the board today. And that's why you saw the fluctuation in the price. There's just a few contracts left. So the question now, will the beans going up to 919 where the SEP went off, or will the corn go down to 357.5 where the SEP corn went off? So we'll watch as we go forward. But that was why those prices were the way they were. Bean-wise, we started firm last night, steady firm. Then we moved, trading fairly strong in the overnight activity. Several factors was that, one, weather's just not too real cooperative as far as temperature-wise in the northern belt, and we're going to see another cool down as we go into the weekend here ourselves. Not enough to do damage here for those beans that are still green, but enough to maybe, question what's going on yield-wise and maybe taking the top end off again. But the big news, additional bean sales. We saw 129,000 beans sold to China and an additional 318,000 tons to unknown destination. Commercial guys feel there's another 3 cargoes of U.S. beans and another 5 cargoes of Brazilian beans that was sold to China. Now, the key right there, though, is it's kind of penciling out, they're starting to shift a little bit more of that demand to the southern hemispheres. These shipments are booked for January, February, so need to keep an eye on that. And above all, we need to see these sales announced fairly quickly since we are messing or trading close above the $10 level up front.
And what are farmers calling and asking you about today?
A lot of different things. As a whole, bean cutting is going to pick up some momentum here. It was going to meet mid to late weekend through here. For those that are cutting beans, they're 10 to 15% above average wise. The key is, do I store or do I sell? At these price levels on the beans, I think you got to kind of reward the market and push a little bit more out the door to bring your average up. For those who've been following the commentary here, I mentioned the KISS method, bought $9 puts for 8 to 15 cents. Those are virtually worthless, but the market's rallied $1 since then. So you can roll those puts up or just go ahead and make some cash sales in here. But $10 beans on the board are at, almost 2-year highs. I don't recommend cleaning out or selling real aggressive here, but I think you got to take advantage of this up. The other thing to do if you want some downside protection, these November 950 puts are about 5 cents. And man, that's a heck of a hedge, and hope it's wrong. I'd give up 5 to 10 cents to keep seeing the gains that we've seen in through here, Todd.
Over the weekend, the president was tweeting about ethanol, said that he's going to make E15 available in regular E10 pumps if the states want that to happen. It won't be a federal mandate of any sort. I think it also would need to be voluntary on the part of the station. Has there been any confirmation of what impact that might have, if any?
Well, any additional demand is welcome. You know, that's that's our president in action there. So we'll see what news follows in through here. Probably the biggest news was Brazil coming in and waivers, the ethanol waivers going into Brazil. So that keeps the ethanol export market strong. And I just saw here just a little while ago, but he's President Trump was talking about banning import of cotton due from China until they shut down so-called concentration camps in some regions there, human rights and so forth. And that sent the cotton market higher here going into the closing minutes here. So there's a lot of news out there, and it's going to be market sensitive, and the key is whether we follow through or not.
All right, and thank you for keeping track of it all. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
Very good. Take care.
I will, and you too. Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. That means you're involved in the process, and we're in the middle of the fall fund drive. More coming up on that, but you can get a heads up. Good start on it right now if you dial in with your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Frayne Olson. He's an agricultural economist at North Dakota State University in Fargo. Thanks so much for being with us today. I have a couple of topics to take up. Let's start with soybeans. There's been an awfully good rally. USDA last week in the WASD raised the cash price for the season, the 2020-2021 crop year, to $9.25, up 90 cents. What do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of stuff going on, and the WASD report we got just kind of reinforced some of that information. It confirmed what the market was suspecting. And as I see it, there's several components that's really driven this rally. The first one the farmers are most familiar with, of course, is that yield expectations are starting to come down with some of the drier areas, and now we've got some frost damage, at least here in the northern tier. You know, we're taking the top end off of those yield expectations, and that makes a difference, right? We're losing some of that idea we're going to have this massive crop. It's still going to be a very good crop, don't misunderstand, but it's changing the psychology in the marketplace. On top of that, then we start looking at our export demand, and obviously China is back into the marketplace and buying U.S. soybeans, and that's really given a lot of optimism that market supply chain will be reinvigorated. Now, to date, so far, most of the Chinese buying is very similar to the kind of the levels and the patterns that we saw before the trade war. So it's not that the Chinese have actually bought more than they would have historically. It's just they're kind of on pace to levels we haven't seen in a while since the trade war first started. So a little bit lower yields. We're looking at a rebound now in export pace. And then we saw this rally or this increase in prices. And since then, the other major driving force behind this has been the fund money, or this investment community coming back into agriculture, and in particular soybeans. And when you look at the net long position of the commercial, I mean, not the commercial traders, but the investment community, they have a very, very long position in the soybean market. And I am a bit concerned that that's also been part of the driving force in this rally. And the challenge is going to be once that rally starts to tip over, once it looks like we're capping out and maybe heading down for retracement, my big concern is that the folks in the financial community are suddenly going to reverse their positions. We're going to have some pretty massive sell-off in their positions, and then that'll drive prices even more. So I'm a bit concerned now that with the kind of rally we've had, we've come up very strong. We've had a nice long rally. That once that starts to turn, I am concerned that we may see a pretty significant retracement, and probably a little larger than what a lot of farmers were hoping for.
I bet that farmers have been asking you this question: how much more rally is there left? rather than should I take advantage of it currently? Because, well, that's the optimism they generally have.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I get the same questions. And you know, obviously nobody really knows. I wish I knew what the magic number was going to be, and I try and share that. But nobody really knows for sure. But I am concerned that again, in my view, we're getting a little bit top heavy here. That when you combine all of these factors, that there, you know, there's this old saying that the bull rally needs to be fed every day, and I'm a little concerned we're starting to run out of some of that new fresh news. Because again, as prices go higher, what happens is the international buyers, whether you're China or somebody else, start backing away, saying, look, this is no longer a value anymore, and I'm going to just take a pause here and wait a while. And again, when that tips over, what I'm really concerned is we're going to have all this financial selling that goes in, and we're going to push things lower. So the way I've asked, kind of phrased this to farmers, is say, given what you know today, your understanding, your thoughts about the future, what do you think the odds are, the probability that prices will go higher from here versus the odds it will go lower from here? And in my math, I guess I'm more concerned about a fallback in prices or retracement in prices rather than continuing the rally. Or putting it a little bit different way, you know, are you willing to risk a potential 50 cent a bushel loss to try and capture that last 10 cents out of the marketplace? And that's really my concern, is that you know, don't get exceptionally greedy here. I know everybody wants to hit the top of the market, but the odds of actually hitting that top number is just about impossible.
On the other primary crop across the Midwest, corn, there was news over the weekend, and China has been in the market buying already, but that they were going to maybe increase the number of bushels that they want to import for the year. What'd you make of that news?
Yeah, and I guess it's confirming some of the private analysts, because there's been kind of rumblings or some private analysts from China coming out to say that they do expect additional Chinese purchases of corn off the world market. There was an official government announcement that they were going to increase, or their forecast for total corn imports is going to be about 7 million metric ton. The private analysts are much higher than that. I guess my bias is I'm biased more towards the larger number than the smaller number for a couple of reasons. You know, most of the reports we're hearing out about China and their corn production is that they have an average yield at best. We really won't know those numbers for a little while yet, but it's really the demand driver behind this, that their corn supplies, they're starting. So I look at what China is doing, how they're acting in the marketplace. We can talk all we want to about what the press release is saying, but let's talk a little bit about what are they doing. We're seeing the Chinese government auctioning off fairly large portions of their government-owned reserves. There seems to be very strong demand for those auctioned bushels. Whenever they offer one, it seems that it seems like they're being taken up. So it seems as though there's a strong demand on that side. They've had some fairly aggressive buying of U.S. soybeans. I know one of the things that the private analysts in the U.S. are concerned about or thinking about is, well, if China imports, their total imports are going to be about 7 million metric ton. They've already booked about 8.8 million metric ton of corn just from the U.S. And so, again, when you look at what their behavior is, they're buying fairly aggressively from the U.S. See, we haven't seen these are the highest levels of Chinese corn buying we've ever seen. The previous record was about 5.1, and they're currently, for 2020 marketing year, about 8.8. So the other thing that's happening is their livestock sector continues to grow. And we focus a lot on the hog industry, and their hog numbers are growing, they're returning. They still have African swine fever problems, but they're being able to add hogs faster than they're dying off. They're starting to, again, get this under control. It'll be a while, in my opinion, that they'll get it completely under control, but they're moving in that direction. But we often forget about other sources of demand, feed demand, not just pork, but also poultry, which would include chicken and duck, aquaculture, which, again, in parts of China is a very vibrant business. We also think about dairy and dairy production. And again, there is the dairy herd in China is pretty extensive. So we look at the entire feed demand from the Chinese livestock sector, And we're looking at some pretty big numbers. So if that feed demand continues to grow at a relatively steady pace, it looks as though they're going to have an average to maybe slightly below average crop. And they're releasing a lot of these government-owned reserves and being more aggressive in the international market. To me, that signals, you know, there's something happening there. And I do think, my personal opinion is that the Chinese corn buying will last at least through the winter months until the Brazilian crop comes online.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again in another month.
All right. Appreciate the chance to visit.
All right. That's Frayne Olson. He is with North Dakota State University and serves as an agricultural economist there. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's fall fun drive time, and that means I'm hoping that you'll pick up the phone right now at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL to make a pledge of support for agriculture on this radio station. Whether you're listening online or on the air, it makes no difference. However you use the programming, if it makes a difference in your day, if it makes you smile because you listen through the programming and not quite to the programming, cool, fantastic. If it gives you an understanding of what the food supply chain has looked like during the pandemic and what that really means for the rest of the year, fantastic. Make a pledge of support. If each and every day you listen to the brokers and the meteorologists and that helps you make a business decision, then please make a pledge of support and do it right now. 217-244-9455. I love doing the job. Honestly, I love doing the job. I have a ball on the radio each and every day having these conversations. But in order to pull that off, I kind of need your help. That's why I say most days on the station, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You're the public. And I'd like you to belly up right now at 217-244-9455. Whatever gift you can make is perfectly fine. If you can't make a gift, don't feel bad about that. Just call and say, I love it. I'll support you. I just can't right now. But if you can, how about the $10 level? That's $120 a year. Sure would love to have you do that. 217-244-9455. Just $10 a month. Why not? You can also do it online at willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Tell us that you're going to send us a check, but do make the phone call or go online, one of the two, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. And thank you. You know I'll be back, but, you know, get a start right now. Don't wait because I need you. That's right, you, to make the phone call today. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is now here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Let's begin in the United States, where the weather is beautiful in the Midwest, but we have some problems with another hurricane. Can you kind of set things out across the Corn Belt for me to begin with and then make your way to the other areas?
Yeah, well, across the Midwest, the region is in a stretch of warmer and drier conditions, not only this week, but into next week as well. All of them, that's going to be favorable for harvest progress here across the Corn Belt. And coming up, really, all the moisture is going to be wrapped up, at least in the next several days, wrapped up across areas of the far southern delta and on into the southeast. And that's associated with, well, what is now Hurricane Sally. Earlier, Tropical Storm Sally rapidly intensified and over the past couple of hours went from winds of 60 to 65 miles per hour, now all the way to over 90 miles per hour. And it's almost a Category 2 hurricane already. The storm will now be recurving here, kind of making landfall. The track's a little bit further east here and making landfall probably closer to Mobile Bay or even into the far western part of the Florida Panhandle. And then the moisture will recurve into areas of Alabama and on into Georgia. So very heavy rain event. It's moving very slowly. And that's really the biggest concern here with Sally is actually with this inland flooding event, which is the first of the season here in the U.S. with any tropical system so far.
Do you see more of them coming?
Well, the tropics are hyperactive, and that's kind of an understatement. It's almost like the Atlantic Basin is on steroids here from a tropical activity standpoint. There are currently 5 named storms. That's only happened one other time in recorded history. And that also includes there's a storm in the eastern Pacific as well. So, this is the peak of the season, but this is getting a bit out of control in terms of just the number of systems out there. After Sally, at least for the time being, it doesn't appear that any of these other systems right now will make their way, at least over the next 7-8 days, make their way to the U.S. But we need to still keep an eye on them and also need to watch for any other development a little bit closer, like in the Gulf of Mexico or Western Caribbean, any system that does develop closer here to the U.S.
Check in on the growing regions of the Southern Hemisphere for me.
Yeah, down in South America, we do have concerns for Argentina. They've had a unseasonably dry winter, especially during the months of July and August. And that drier bias looks to persist throughout the remainder of September. So that's something that, at least in the short term, is impacting their winter wheat development, but it is something to keep an eye on for risks to upcoming summer crop planting there in Argentina. Meanwhile, in Brazil, we don't have any concerns at this time. Southern Brazil is on the active side, and that's going to continue to maintain the adequate soil moisture reserves there for either winter wheat development or for upcoming summer crop planting. And then up north in the areas of Mato Grosso, typically by October 1st, that is the traditional start to the wet season across the region. And we are seeing indications both in computer model guidance and outside of computer model guidance that points towards this timely start. So once rains do commence across Mato Grosso, that initiates planting, and we are calling for a timely start to the rainy season there in Mato Grosso.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's in Chicago, Illinois, one of 5 meteorologists that join us each and every week here at Illinois Public Media on the Closing Market Report. And if they make a difference in the decisions you make on the farm or otherwise, right now is a great time to let us know that's the case. We're in the middle of the fall fun drive, and that means we need your help. I kind of like the $120 gift level. You can do that at 217-244-9455. Or willpledge.org. But don't wait. Do it right now, because we're getting started now, but we'll be finished by the end of the week, and we need to have those spread out through the week. So right now would be a great time to dial in at 217-244-9455 or go online at willpledge.org. It's really simple to do. In fact, it doesn't take very long. American Express, MasterCard, Discover, Visa, doesn't matter. You can write us a check if you'd like. You can just tell us you're going to make that donation in the future. But whatever you do, make sure you give us a call at 217-244-9455 or go online at willpledge.org and make a donation in support of agriculture from Illinois Public Media. And thanks for listening on this radio station or online. It matters not. Either way, we really do appreciate the fact that you're there with us most business days of the year.